Friday, March 11th, was a good day of work and pleasure, which began early. All nights are too short these last months. It seems that Linda never gets more than 5 or 6 hours of sleep. I do not know how he arises to work so hard. After laying down his night reading at 2, finished or unfinished, and awakening about 7:30, I had breakfast with him about 8:30 in his room, which is rather like a convention hall, and then decided to treat myself to a visit to the National Art Gallery with Ida May. She had plans to go. Could I be ready in a few minutes? I ignored duty, and feeling delightfully truant, we drove to the National, where John Walker and Carter Brown were waiting for us at the entrance. The great collection that Paul Mellon and Mrs. Mellon Bruce have lent for the 25th anniversary, the official dedication of the National Gallery, are more than 200 French Impressionists. Probably there's more of them under this roof today than any place in the world, even Paris. One Cézanne sold for $800,000 last October. They range from Corot to Picasso. Monets, Manets, Cézannes, Degas, Boudins, I never saw so many, and charming ones. They're not open to the public yet. We went straight to the gallery. They weren't labeled, so I had a delightful time, seeing if I could identify them before I walked up close and looked at the signatures. And very often I could. Secretly, I hoped that Johnny Walker and Carter Brown was impressed as I was. But they do begin to speak to you after a good many years of exposure. I could tell when Van Gogh was getting into his last period, he went mad. I found many Monets that weren't misty at all. In fact, one of my favorites was a very clear, bright garden. Huge golden sunflowers and two little children coming down a path. A Monet. And another, a girl on a hilltop, and you can almost feel the wind in her hair. I discovered some Renoirs that were most unlike anything else he's done that I have seen. Paintings of his children, quite photographic. And one of the dearest ones of all, a little Marie-Cassette girl plumped on a couch, looking at her little dog, both of them planning some devilment. We spent a pleasant hour. As I walked out, saw groups of school children, and people smiled and waved at me. I smiled and waved back, but mostly I was quite inconspicuous. Back at the White House, I had a meeting set up with Mr. West and Jim Ketchum to put together the agenda for the meeting we must have soon with the Committee for the Preservation of the White House. Tell them about all the things we've done for the tourists, showcases, the tape, the room signs, the story of the President's trees on the South Grounds. Tell them of our achievements of the last year in acquiring paintings and our hopes for the future. The new drapes for the main entrance that we need, and also, very much, new drapes and chair coverings. Or should it be new chairs for the state dining room? 2 full pages of things we must talk about, plus a report on White House publications, how all the books are coming along, amount of sales, amount of money we can expect from the White House Historical Association to help with acquiring permanent art objects. We had innumerable cups of coffee. They must have thought they were never going to get any lunch because I let them go at 2:30. And then Lyndon came for lunch. It's the first time I've had lunch with him in ages. Mostly I'm too famished to wait. A cup of coffee doesn't hold me. I must start eating a real breakfast so that I can wait until he comes, because he eats alone on those days when he doesn't bring business guests, and he does not like to be alone at all. If he can't find me, he calls Ashton, or gets Vicky or Marie. Yesterday he'd said he'd called everywhere for me, so today he came prepared with Vicky, and the three of us sat down for lunch. And afterwards I had a long session of fitting with Lucinda. How boring it is! And then a little nap, and more work with Ashton and Bess. And a little before 6, Jane Freeman, whom I'd called to invite to ride with me out to the Women's National Democratic Club benefit show. And off we went for 30 minutes of that familiar signature to this job, walking through crowds, shaking hands, smiling, looking at booths filled with items, up for the silent auction. A painting by Alice Acheson, needlework by Jane Wirtz, well-known products of states, bourbon from Kentucky, and a smoked ham. I'll bet some chili from Texas. They were going to have an extravaganza a little later, put together by Scotty Lanahan and the Clark Clifford's talented daughter, in which Anne Hand was one of the stars. But I didn't stay. I thanked everybody for lots of pictures And then, with relief, I hurried back to the White House to work some more. What a week of work this has been. But there has to be a week like this now and then, or else there couldn't be trips and speeches and days when I don't see my desk. I asked the house guest to meet me about 9 for a drink. How late our hours must seem to other people. And then, delightfully enough, Lyndon came at 9:15, but not in a hurry to go into dinner. He enjoys Ovita Hobby very much, and also Jim and Ida May. They are leaving tomorrow morning for Vietnam. They've been briefed all day. They were full of interesting stories themselves, and enthusiastic, eager, hopeful. I was glad that Lyndon quit the dietetic Dr. Pepper and had a couple of scotches while we talked. He told them what he hoped they'd do in Vietnam, what he hoped this government could do, the imprint we could leave on the country. One, I would see that everyone there got a bath. It is simple to wash. I'm sure Procter & Gamble can get us the soap. 2, I would have mass inoculation. He keeps on talking about how they die at 35 and have sores caused by lack of cleanliness. Skin diseases are a major scourge of the country. 3, I would see what the simple 3 R's are out there, and I would get them started in the school, just like you would buy a Liberty Bond. This country, it is the goldfish bowl. Our only purpose out there is to keep these people from being eaten up. I want to get out of there more than anybody, including the Marines. And then he spoke of President Eisenhower. Since I have been president, the man who has helped me most and asked for least has been Eisenhower. And then he talked of Jim. It always makes me uncomfortable when he does. His death he regards as a hideous turning point in the war and a black spot in our national life. And then he talked of his own philosophy. I am not a liberal. I'm a progressive. The liberal believes in controlling your mind like a communist does. I do not believe in that. And once more about Vietnam. I want to do something about the condition that causes this war. And he spoke of what our agricultural know-how, our technology could do for them, and a Freeman's mission over there. We are going to give them 200-pound hogs for their 100-pound hogs. Our sweet potato vines produce twice as many pounds of sweet potatoes as their vines do. Westmoreland is not just a killer. He has a social consciousness. Ovita, in talking about the liberals' attitude about the Vietnam situation, said, "There's something sick in the liberal viewpoint on all this." At one time, Lyndon described himself, I'm like a prize fighter in the ring. The right fist is the military. The left fist is aid, washing, education, agricultural help. Poor beleaguered man. He's put in a week of work on it. And tomorrow will be more, with about 4 to 6 or 7 of the governors coming. All-day briefings. After Lennon's blessing, Ovita made a sweet, grave little addition of asking help for him. We had a merry dinner, and then by midnight we were in bed. My day had been interspersed with a good many personal things, too. The call that Uncle John Will Petilla had died. One of my last links with my childhood. I had a long talk with Nettie Mason, his daughter, in which we could even laugh over some of the happy times we'd spent when we were children. And I called Jim Fosberg about paintings, our plans for acquisitions. I want to keep everybody's enthusiasm up. And Mary Lasker about the art tea at the White House next week. Who among our beautification friends might enjoy coming? It's been a week of infinite and necessary work, and no great glittering events.